Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Reveille, reveille, reveille!
It's the Thursday edition here on Zero Block 30, and I'm super excited for you to be here. We only have two rounds of the magazine today. One is going to be our interview with David Faraday, who is fantastic, and two is going to be a draft. We're back with the Integrity Draft. It's going to be round number two of the Integrity Draft, and this time we are doing pet peeves from our time in the military. What is your pet peeve after serving in the military? That's what we're going to do after our interview with David Faraday. And
life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
All right, so this interview that we did with David Faraday, one, we went back and forth about it because this is a military show and we have to be sensitive to the listeners and what people that we serve with fought for, what our values and things like that. So over the course of the last year, maybe year and a half, if you haven't been paying attention, LIV Golf is something that has popped up. And LIV Golf is an alternative to the PGA. Guys like me, cons, we fucking love the PGA. We talk about it. You'll hear us talk about when it's the Masters, the U.S. Open, all those different types of big events. It's where Tiger Woods has played, Jack Nicklaus, Arnie, all of them played there. Well, now in the last year, there's been a new organization that has popped up, almost completely separate, just like when the NFL had the XFL show up. It was the same type of sport, different league altogether that was going to be ran in a completely different type of way. The major issue behind this, because nobody would have a separate issue of a new golf league showing up and changing up the tournaments, changing up the rules. The issue and all the ballyhoo around this is because of the financiers surrounding LIV Golf, and that is the Saudi royal family. Now, I don't know how you guys feel about it because it's not something that we've really talked about on this show. I do know how you feel about it, but it's not something that we've talked about on this show. So before we get into the interview with David, I wanted to set the scene a little bit about how we feel. As the resident Afghanistan veteran on the show, the only one of us that's actually stepped foot there, Kate, I wanted to ask you first up how you feel about one, super rich folks like Phil Mickelson, Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau, and amongst others that have taken money from the Saudi royal family. Do you think that that is wrong in and of itself, Kate?
I think it's very easy to be on a high horse about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I look at, well, what if they came to me and they were like, Kate, we'll give you $150 million to sell your soul. I'd be like, here's my soul. Have it. Because I want a pontoon boat, friends. Yeah. I want one with a gold sliding board and a guy in a Speedo who makes me kebabs whenever I want. You know,
you could definitely
mean?
Get large march the party barge if you got $100 million from LIV.
Yeah, I think it's very easy to judge. But then if you were in that position, what would you do? Given, like you said, these are already guys who will never want for a thing a day in their lives. They've mm-hmm. already made their millions and millions and millions. So I do think it's a little easier to judge them from down where I'm sitting. And I think they call it sports washing, basically what Saudi Arabia does. They do cool shit. They bring in big influencers, they whatever, to kind of hide the fact, like when you're watching Phil Mickelson on the tour, you're not thinking about the mother of two who just got put in prison for 30 something years because she retweeted something. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. you're not looking at those kind of things.
It's tough, right? Is sports watching something that can happen, first of all?
I absolutely think it's something that can happen. But I also think, Americans in general like to be very sanctimonious sometimes. And we are not without fault in this country. I love this country. I've been very vocal how much I love our country. But that comes with admitting that we're not perfect either. So I think that's mm-hmm. number one. I think that's important to remember. Number two, I think, look around at the other sports leagues and all of the business dealings that the NBA has with China. You don't see the backlash coming for the NBA and saying anything to them. But I think because, and I was just recently having this conversation, I think because when you look at China, it's kind of like a more broad situation where their practices against their own people and how they've affected the American economy. That's a more broad subject. Whereas with the royal Saudi family, it's like you can trace it back to that one instance, 9/11, and it's easier to pinpoint and then say, like, I don't agree with these people. But then to Kate's point, it's very easy to say that when you're not the one being presented with $100, $200, $300 million checks. That is not just a large amount of money. That's generational wealth. And you cannot pretend as though you know everything that's going on with these individuals who are taking this money. And sure, they're very successful athletes. But I mean, Phil Mickelson's a good example. He admitted that he's lost a lot of money. And, you know, he's not in the poorhouse, but he's lost a lot of money gambling. So, you know, that influences his decision. And I think what was so important about having Mr. Faraday, David Faraday, on was hearing his side of the story. And I think that's important to do, is that before you want to run to condemn someone else, give them a chance.
Let's not go into David Faraday. We'll get into David Faraday when we talk to David Faraday. I meant just superficially on its face. Here's the issues that I have with LIV Golf.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Yeah.
One, I think it's incredibly, it is very, very hypocritical. I think that we need to look at it with the way we do it across the board. Mm-hmm. First up, the idea that Americans are going to be completely indignant about LIV Golf whenever our government is constantly in deals with arm deals and things like that with Saudi Arabia. If you don't want your golfers involved, get your fucking government out of it. And it has nothing to do with Trump or Biden. Biden just a month ago was in there shaking hands with the crown prince of Saudi Arabia in order to get gas prices down. We work across the board. That's why the argument that we shouldn't, that it's America first and America should be isolationist. This is a global world. To act like we're not going to have globalism now is insane. That being said, I do understand those. And I asked Large, who his wife lost several family members in 9/11. How do you feel about that? And they said this kind of thing happens all over the place. Like the PGA Tour is pissed off about LIV. So they're going after it from a Saudi Arabia point of view. They don't care that the major sponsor, the number one major sponsor for the PGA is also Saudi Arabia. So you can't have both sides of the coin. There's certainly hypocrisy from the PGA side. And I understand why you would go. Personally, where my family's at right now, if they came and be like, hey, you could get out of your Barstool contract and Saudi Arabia and LIV Golf is going to pay you $100 million. Buddy, I'm the fuck out of here in a second. And anybody that says no, one, has never had a family, or two, is a liar. You absolutely would do that. I went into this interview, and in fact, last week, I said no. I said I didn't want to do this interview because of LIV. I thought about all the different parameters. What could possibly come? Are we sports watching? Are we do this? And I went in and I researched what David Faraday actually does in his organization. Now, the people that are complaining about David Faraday going to LIV or other people going to LIV, I would almost guarantee that 99% of those folks haven't done as nearly as much for the veteran community as David Faraday has. There's organizations that he has supported for years and years. He is the type of person that came from North Ireland under intense war in his own country to came here and appreciates America. He went on a USO tour, and that's the reason why he established this organization. So I can't really find fault. I guess you could find fault and say, I don't agree with you doing this. I don't agree with the principle behind it. I feel for the 9/11 families who are constantly upset about this and has voiced their displeasure. But at the same time, I can't act like somebody who seems like a decent dude in Brooks Koepka or seems like a decent guy in David Flaherty and say that you are now a pariah because of where your paycheck comes. Because, buddy, let me tell you, I work for Penn Entertainment now. You think I go in on every single person's wallet of how Penn Entertainment gets money? No, I don't. Because you're going to have somebody who's probably a terrible person that's throwing money on the crap tables, and I'm going to be bringing in that too. We don't just like boycotting businesses. If you want to start boycotting businesses because they don't believe in your political ideology, enjoy being hungry and clothless, because every single one of those big billionaires are going to do the same exact shit. Sure, not on the same level as Saudi Arabia, but in some form, they are going to do that.
I mean, there are so many businesses out there. If you really trace it back, it goes back to nefarious dealings. So if you, like you just said, if you want to really start boycotting, be prepared to boycott a lot.
Yeah. If you want to pull back some onions, prepare to cry, because everybody's going to. That being said,
I actually boycott all golf because I have a life.
You're actually pretty good at golf. Okay. Don't lie, Kate. And you go with your dad and you love it.
That's true.
Called you out. Integrity violator, Nick, light her up next week for that one.
Get it, Commissioner.
That being said, we're going to hop into our interview with David Faraday. He was lovely. Here he is.
Whoa. Before we get into the interview and before I get canceled, I need to make sure that I make a correction. I was wrong there. It's not actually Manchester City who owns it. It is Crystal Palace. Got my teams all mixed up, the ownership mixed up and all that stuff. And the LPGA is not the number one sponsorship from Saudi Arabia and their oil and gas companies, but it's like a top three or four for all of women's golf in the entire world. The point remains the same, even if some of the factual details were a little bit wrong. You understood what I was saying, but you couldn't wait to run to the little comments and to correct me and be like, oh, well, actually, chaps, you know what I meant. The point still stands. Let's listen to the interview. I'm sorry for being upset. I just haven't eaten yet, and I'm very hungry. All right, here's the interview.
Now, Zero Blog 30, I'm privileged to have David Faraday, who's been, I think, since as long as I can remember. And so I started getting into golf, really. My favorite announcer that is out there. One, because you're known for your boisterous personality. I think golf can be very stuffy at times, and that is not you at all. When you first broke onto the scene in an American golf, really, did you catch a lot of blowback for your personality and how really bombastic you were on the microphone?
Yeah, I didn't catch a lot, but I caught it occasionally, you know, because I think I brought, you know, a little irreverence there that people weren't used to. We had Gary McCord, you know, who is a great friend of mine. And I started with him back in 96. And, you know, he and I kind of played off each other. And, you know, had a lot of fun. I was with CBS for 19 years, at NBC for 8 years, with Roger Maltby and the boys there as well. You know, I've had a great time, you know, covering golf. And, yeah, I mean, I got a little blowback from time to time, but not much.
And I'm sure, like, the move, like mentioning from being at NBC and CBS, the move now with you going over to LIV Golf, there's been a lot more controversy with the organization there. But I want to start with you with some of the things that you've done for the military community, because I've noticed over the course of, since everyone's talking about LIV Golf and the differences in the PGA Tour and LIV Golf, that everything is kind of thrown in. And as soon as you sign in with LIV Golf, that you are totally in bed with the Saudis and things like that. But I wanted to talk to you about your organizations, Troop First, and what you guys have done over the last couple of years. Because in 2014, you did an interview with NBC where you talked to a staff sergeant who lost his legs in battle. And then he went on and had intense PTSD. And you described growing up in North Ireland and how living there and then coming here to America, you really started to appreciate the American military member. Can you talk a little bit about your organization and what that means to you?
Yeah, well, Faraday's Troops First Foundation, we were founded, I think, 2007. I went to Iraq with the USO to entertain the troops, along with Tom Watson and Tom Lehman, Kelly Tillman, and a few others. And I went there, you know, with an Irish passport, and I came back. I went there an Irishman. I came back an American. I was blown away by the quality of the individuals that I got to meet and the extraordinary job they were doing. I think, you know, it's been a long time since the Iraq War. People tend to forget, you know, the good that we did over there. You know, the infrastructure, you know, building schools and, you know, getting people electricity and, you know, things like that, excuse me. And we were on our way out of the theater to head back to Kuwait, to head back to the United States, and in a C-130. And we did this quick U-turn in the south of the country and made one of those, you know, not an emergency landing, but one of those quick sort of combat landings that a C-130 will do in a combat zone.
And can you describe that a little bit? Are you talking about when the lights go dark and then there's red lights and things like that? Yes. Right? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, exactly. You know, we plummeted out of the sky, and the flight engineer came down and said, we're stopping, you know, for HR. And I thought, human relations? What the hell is going on with the army? You know, but it was for human remains. And we picked up the body of a young ranger, and he was rolled in between us. And, you know, Butch Harmon was with us, who did two tours in Vietnam. And this kid accompanied us on part of our journey back home. It was a real honor to be with him. And it really, you know, it really hit me in the heart. I think, you know, it made it all real for me. And when I landed back in the United States, you know, there's two things. You know, I told my wife that I needed to be an American. And the guy, one of the guys that was on the trip, is a guy called Rick Kale, who has devoted his life to supporting our veterans, he lives in the Maryland area around Walter Reed. And the two of us got together and started Faraday's Troops First Foundation. And initially, one of the first programs that we had was called Operation Proper Exit, where we would take kids from Walter Reed, we would take them back to the place in Iraq and Afghanistan, to the places where they got wounded. And we showed them the difference that they had made, because part of the, you know, the origin of that PTSD, and I tell people I have PTSD, I have pre-traumatic stress disorder, you know, I'm pretty sure something shitty is going to happen, but I have no idea when.
Yeah.
Yeah. We took them back to the place where they were wounded, and, you know, they saw the difference that they'd made, you know, and they met the doctors and nurses who saved them. You know, the combat medics in some cases. And this time when they left to go to America, they weren't medevaced out in an induced coma. You know, they got to turn around and say goodbye to the rest of their unit, and the insurgent had no voice. You know, so it gave them tremendous closure. You know, some of the other, you know, we do improvised explosive days of golf, of cycling, of hunting, you know, fishing, you know, things like that for them. And we built seven houses up around Walter Reed there in the area for families in transition coming out of the hospital that, you know, need to get on their feet. And in fact, we have the Sergeant Major of the Afghan National Army in one of the houses at the moment. We managed to get him evac with his family.
Wow.
We have Warrior Call, which it keeps the wounded in touch with their able-bodied, you know, battle buddies, keeps them, you know, in touch with their brothers, and various other programs, you know, that we just try to make a difference in the lives of our vets.
And those organizations, and what you're doing, and especially bringing them back, I got shot in Fallujah in 2007. Yeah. And when I first heard about this organization and knew some other people that had been injured and other wounded warriors and things like that, that were getting that opportunity, one of which was my friend Kyle Carpenter, who got to go back to Marjan, Afghanistan, and see that. And another one, Rocky Bauer, who used to play running back for the world champion Super Bowl Steelers. Great individuals. So I know that that organization is doing fantastic things. And I think that's why, and one of the things that frustrates me with the Live Golf situation and the involvement in the Saudis is that I think so many times we're looking at things without nuance, and that there is essentially two sides. Like, you working with Live does not mean all of a sudden that you hate Americans, you hate troops, or anything like that. Can you talk a little bit about the brushback and how you've been dealing with some of the 9/11 surviving families who are having trouble with wrapping their head around what's happening with Live Golf?
Well, I met with a couple of the 9/11 families that were protesting at Bedminster, and they were marvelous, you know, just wonderful people. And you know, they're not against the players. You know, that was the thing that stood out for me. And, you know, the fact that I'm with Live, there was a recent article, I think, in the New York Post, you know, that suggested that I'd sold my patriotism. Well, you know, we've raised $30 million or so over the last 10 or 15 years, you know, at Faraday's Troops First. And, if that's selling my patriotism, I'm going to continue selling it, you know, hopefully into the future. Having said that, you know, I've received very, very little criticism. I don't have much of a social media presence, because the risk reward thing for me is, with my personality and my liability to say things that are going to get me in trouble, it doesn't seem like such a good idea. But I am not aware of much, bad publicity that I've received, you know, for being with Liv. We're having a clinic next Wednesday in Boston that'll benefit Faraday's Troops First Foundation. You know, so Liv is making a concerted effort, you know, in the Live to Give program to help, military charities, 9/11 families. You know, they're making a positive contribution to it.
And you made a statement that there was essentially three reasons why you wanted to leave NBC and the PGA Tour and go to Live, one of which was obviously money. And I was glad to hear you say that, because having money, that's a pretty important thing. So I think that most people can wrap their head around the opportunity to get money. But two, you said that you would have more creative freedom and the ability to say more.
Yes.
What were you getting stymied by the PGA Tour, and what do you hope will open up for you at Live?
I don't think it was so much, stymied by the PGA Tour. I think social media has been, detrimental in a lot of ways to, players can't even give themselves a hard time on the golf course now, call themselves names or whatever. The social climate is such that, it was difficult for me to be myself, on the air. I'm with a much more, I don't know, a much more tolerant organization now of people like myself, who are liable to say things that are controversial, not so much controversial, but hell, just funny.
Right.
Can we just be funny about golf? It's a pretty damn funny game. Brandel Chambly from the Golf Channel accused, I think, Bryson DeChambeau, he questioned his Christianity recently because, he went with Liv. Golf will make you question your Christianity.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting knowing what, especially from a veteran perspective and what I've been taught and what I've read and what I know about Saudi Arabia, hearing that an organization that is backed from Saudi Arabia be more open to, I guess, freedom of speech and more open with less restriction, it almost feels like an oxymoron. Have you had obviously you've had conversations, but with the PR professionals that are there, because a lot of times whenever the golfers are asked about the relationship with the Saudis, there's almost like a canned answer involved. Has that been your experience of what you're going to look for? Or do you really feel that you'll have an open mic and be able to talk openly about any issues, including some of the conversations that you have with 9/11 surviving families?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I feel, much more able to have those or to be myself, I think, is the bottom line. I feel much more able to be myself. And I've only, been involved with one tournament, and that was at Bedminster a few weeks ago. It'll be my second event in Boston coming up next week. And, For the first time in a lot of years, I feel like I can be myself on the air and, poke fun at the players. And golfers are big, grown-up people, I mean, they understand that it's not what people say about you, it's your reaction to what they say about you that matters. And, they're pretty, they've got good senses of humor, and they understand that the game will make you look foolish at times.
And with Bryson, and one of the main things that Bryson and Brooks talked about and the reason why they're going, Dustin Johnson's too, and I imagine everyone, what are you looking forward to doing in the extra time that you won't have this packed PGA schedule? Are you also excited about having so many more weekends on your calendar freed up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the things that people, you know, may not be aware of, I never call myself a gunsmith. I'm a rifle maker. I take Remington 700 actions and other actions from older rifles and blueprint them, square them off in the lathe, and I turn them into precision rifles that I give to wounded service members and cops and friends, you know, game wardens, you know, people like that. So
anytime podcasters who are also Marines.
Sure. I'll make you one.
All right. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. I'll make you one. We'll talk about that afterwards.
Great.
I'll make one for any soldier, a sailor, airman, or Marine. And I love doing it. You know, I love the metal work and the precision of it. And getting out and shooting it, you know, and you know, making sure that it'll shoot a fingernail at 100 yards, you know, it's one of my passions. It's really, you know, the only hobby that I have. I don't play golf anymore, although I have played a couple of times in recent months. Tom Watson dragged me out. Callaway sent me a set of clubs, but I got badly wounded, badly injured, I should say. In a bicycle truck incident 16 years ago, in which I came off a distant second, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
I got flattened and crushed down the left side of my body, punctured a lung, broke the ribs, you know, and mangled my left arm. So my left hand doesn't work really particularly well. It was 16 years since I'd hit a golf ball before, you know, Tom Watson dragged me out on the golf course. So really, you know, the rifle making is the only... It's the only pastime or hobby that I have.
Is that started after the accident, or were you into that before?
No, it started after the accident. There was a young man called John Wayne Walding, who was a Green Beret sniper that came into the foundation, and he wanted to go to college, you know, and have a business degree. And like so many of these kids, you know, I mean, he was a phenomenal soldier, but he just wasn't very good at being a civilian. And, you know, I said to him, you know, I don't think that's going to work for you. You know, you left school at 16, you know, you went into the army, you know, you became an elite soldier. He lost his right leg in a famous firefight in the Shock Valley. I said, why don't you do something badass? He said, well, what are we going to do? And I said, I don't know. I mean, you're a sniper. You know, why don't you be a gunsmith? And he says, well, how are we going to do that? I said, I don't know, but I'll find out. So I went down to D. Ray's, the famous gun shop here in Dallas, and their master gunsmith was a guy called Dick Cook. And Dick Cook is our Yoda. Any problems that I have or that John had, we would go to Dick and he would solve them for us. I bought a lathe and a mill, and we started a little rifle making company called Five Toes Custom Gunworks, because John only had five toes. And, you know, it blossomed from there.
And that seems like, knowing your sense of humor, because I've seen you perform here in San Antonio and things like that, the military veterans must fucking get you to a T, because you're like a very irreverent type of dark type of sense of humor. And that's extremely our shit. I imagine somebody like you that's in the golf world and then coming over to the military and hanging out with people like us has got to be incredibly refreshing too.
Oh, it is. For me, it's remarkable. You know, I'm constantly reminded of the sense of humor. I grew up around cops and soldiers in Northern Ireland in an urban warfare environment. And the sense of humor, you're right, is so dark and so damn funny. When you see people that, you know, we had a kid called Brandon Morocco come into the foundation years ago, and he lost both arms and both legs in a bomb incident in Tikrit in Iraq. And we got him in, and we just gave him such a hard time from the start of our relationship. He did most of his therapy in the swimming pool. Mm-hmm. So we nicknamed him Bob.
Yeah.
You know, and Brandon laughs. You know, when you see someone that has that, you know, reaction, you know, given his situation, you know, they regain so much of their dignity because of that. And as you know very well, you know, losing a leg or an arm or an eye or whatever is one thing, but the loss of dignity is sometimes, you know, it's even harder to replace. But, you know, by their reaction, you know, and I'm not suggesting that anybody, you know, should go out and immediately start making fun of you know, that'd be a dangerous thing. You know, once you get to know someone that's been wounded or whatever, it's a very valuable thing to be able to.
It almost makes me feel at home when somebody does it. I feel like kind of back home. Like my boss now, Dave Portnoy, who's the founder of Barstool Sports, when he first hired me, he didn't know that I was a Purple Heart recipient. And then he found out after I asked him if I could announce that I had been hired here on my Alive Day. It was the anniversary of the day that I had gotten shot. Yes. And he asked me what happened to the story. And without hesitation, instantly, he said, well, why didn't you just fucking duck below the window? Like, that seems like day one shit. And to me, I was like, this is the right place. It was almost like a halfway house for me from the military here. And that's why I really enjoy that type of personality, this type of job, and being around other people who could do things. The last question I want to ask you about is, you've been very open about your struggles in the past with alcoholism, and I'm sure like currently as well, it's never a full-blown past struggle. With your relationship with the military, that's a huge issue that we have in the veteran community with those that are battling PTSD and looking for their healing from the bottom of a bottle rather than from the armchair of a therapist.
Yeah.
Have you been able to incorporate any of that into your organization? And has that been a commonality that you find with a lot of veterans too, who are struggling with alcoholism?
Yes. You know, I mean, I joke when I say that I have PTSD, but a lot of the symptoms that our wounded vets have, you know, I've had the same symptoms, albeit for a different reason. You know, so I do feel that sort of commonality or that brotherhood with them. The depression side of it, you know, the alcoholism, the addiction, you know, I'm bipolar. You know, I take 13 pills a day to be this normal. And, it's a struggle, every day for me. I don't have perfect attendance with the alcoholism. I managed to kick the drug habit completely. You know, I was taking 20 Vicodin a day and drinking a bottle and a half of whiskey along with it, and going to work, you know, still, you know, the most dangerous addict is a functional one. Mm. You know, I had the ability to consume vast amounts of poison and still, you know, remain upright and lucid. So, for me, it's a daily struggle. It's one that I continue to fight. You know, sometimes I'm successful. Most of the times I'm successful, you know, and occasionally over the years I haven't been, but it's tremendously therapeutic for me. You know, I've lost people in my life, both in the military and, you know, my son died of a cocaine overdose on his 29th birthday 5 years ago. So, you know, the depression side of it is something that I share with a lot of these guys, and they're therapeutic to me. Oftentimes I feel almost selfish because of the benefits I get from being around them. It's the most wonderful part of my life, being around them, and I'll forever be grateful for it and to be an American.
Well, there you go. David, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure, and keep watching Live Golf. You know, get into the teams. That's the thing. It's a hoot.
There we go. When's your next event?
Boston, next week.
All right. Well, we'll see you in Boston.
Thanks, chaps.
I mean, when you talk to somebody like that after talking to him for just a few minutes, you can see he's clearly not a bad guy. He still cares about America, still cares about veterans, and still cares about all those things. I don't know, man. Like, I went into the interview kind of hesitant about it, how I felt about it. Now I'm like, do I boycott Man City because they're also owned by the same exact money? Like, do I boycott lots of the sports leagues like Series A that get all kinds of money from Saudi Arabia? The answer is no. I think you could talk about the policies and what happens in Saudi Arabia without vilifying all the people that are in Live Golf. I don't know. Maybe that I'm wrong. I could be wrong. We're willing to listen to it. If you're a listener and you have other thoughts, feel free to drop comments, send us an email, put it into the iTunes comments, whatever. We want to hear from you and how you feel, because we certainly don't speak for all veterans at all. And if you have a different perspective and you think it's fucked up, because I think you have every right to do that. It's hard to, it really is hard for me to not say I don't understand the dichotomy there. Like, there is an inherent conflict of interest of getting your money from Saudi Arabia and champion veteran organizations and having your own veteran organization while also getting your money from your day-to-day paycheck from the same people that financed 9/11. Like, it, I understand when people are very upset about it. And when you pull it that way, once again, I'm like, I don't know, man. It seems pretty fucked up. That being said, we're going to move on to round number two, which is brought to you by our good friends at Roman. Roman is ready to go. If you're having, if there's all kinds of new, if the news in the world is causing you not to be able to come, buddy, we are ready to go. We don't know if that's the only thing that's making you not come, but if it is, we want you to get it checked out and make sure that you talk to a doctor, because sometimes we just like to make sure that you have some good old fashioned sex, my friends. Sometimes sex is good. Sometimes it's bad. Sometimes it'll be better, because testosterone is an important part of a man's body and health, but men's testosterone starts to deplete with age. That's why I need to get my T checked out. Signs of low T can include a decline in energy. Fuck. Stamina. Fuck. Weight gain. I'm good. Back down to 196. So I'm solid there. Hair loss. Yikes. And low sex drive. Don't have that. Your boy's still mad horny. Roman testosterone support supplements were designed by real doctors to help men take care of their selves. The daily supplement includes six nutrients to help support testosterone level, bone health, and muscle development. To get Roman.com/zero to get $15 off your first order of Roman T supports. That GetRoman.com/zero. GetRoman.com/zero. All righty. It's time to get into round number two, which is the second overall. Little bit of an integrity draft here. So like I said last week, let me reiterate the rules. We are going to do a 5-round draft. Each one of us is going to have three options. But if there is an integrity violation that one of the main hosts of the show had in the week prior, a guest picker is going to tell us what round we are going to miss and the reason why. Nick, I don't know. Last week I did know. This week I do not know. Nick, who is it?
All right. Well, here we go. Here's your video, guys.
So for this week's draft, Chaps, you are not the integrity violator. Unfortunately, though, Cons, you are not either. Kate, you got to pay attention in the podcast. I can't believe it, Kate. So punishment for not standing your post. You like that word? You lose a 3rd-round pick. Sorry, Kate. Pay attention next time.
All right, so Cons has the 1st overall pick. I am 2nd. Kate is 3rd. And then she loses her 3rd-round pick, which I think is pretty justified. Even she wouldn't argue against it, right, Kate?
No, I would.
Okay, why? I was wrong. Cons, you go first. You got the 1st overall pick. Here we go. 1st overall pick and the things that piss us off, pet peeves after leaving the military.
All right. I didn't think I had that many, and then I started making my list, and I actually do. And with the 1st pick, and I think this is one that we can all relate to, when military movies screw something up, whether it's the uniform, it's the lingo, it's something, when military movies are not accurate to how the military is.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. I mean, I that doesn't as bother me as much now as it used to. But I mean, we went to Washington, D.C. to protest the code for that same exact reason, because they had a shitty haircut.
Bad haircuts.
Exactly.
So it's hard for us to really argue. That's one of the only time that we've actually protested on the show. It wasn't for the PACT Act or anything like that. It was because we wanted to get CPS canceled. The show was CPS canceled.
So, yeah, we're nothing if not standing by our principles. So,
worth noting,
that's my 1st pick.
This isn't on my list, but one of my pet peeves is
This isn't
on my list.
What if it's on our list?
It could be on their list.
No, it won't be. I promise.
We'll put it in your sniff. Okay, go ahead.
One of my pet peeves is old crusty vets complaining about vets being misrepresented
that's on
by
his
uniform.
List. That's on his list. We said it was going to happen, and Kate said it wasn't, and now it happened. That's in another integrity violation. We're already up to 2 today for Kate.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, Yes, it was. I'll send you my list. That was on my list.
Unbelievable. Kate thought she knew her co-host better than he knows himself. Disappointing. Wow. All right, I'm number two. So Khan's got things that are messed up in movies about veterans. I am going to go with people who talk too softly.
Fuck you. That's been my pet peeve for all eternity. I first brought it up on the show.
Well, I don't like it either. It's my number one pet peeve, too. I don't like it when people talk softly to me. Open your bitch ass mouth when you speak to me.
Yeah. The drill instructors say, oh, you want to talk sweet to me? You want to talk sweet to me?
Too. Mm-hmm.
And as somebody who's not always the most confident, I will say, like, that did help me. Now I always say everything like as loud and proud as possible. I make sure everyone can hear me that I'm enunciating. Because it is annoying when you have to be like, what? And the person's looking at you like you're crazy because you can't hear them. It's like, well, speak up, dude.
And I think it's worse because we want that instantaneous response from somebody or them to talk loud. And a lot of veterans suffer from hearing loss, too.
Yeah.
So like, it's like the combo. We want you to talk loud and we already hear softly. So it's a pretty fucking rough spot to be in. Kate, your first pick in the draft. Who do you got?
Mine would be, and this comes from the motor pool days when we did cover and alignment, and then just basic etiquette, like you couldn't park like an asshole on base because somebody would come up to you and fix you right away. Mm-hmm. So you kind of didn't have to deal with garbage parking anywhere on the base at the commissary, whatever. Shitty parking makes me fucking
really
crazy, dude. When I was pregnant and I had to go to the hospital for an appointment, somebody parked me in so close that my belly couldn't get in the space between my car and me. And I was stuck out in the cold waiting for this person to come back so I could get my own car. I had to go around. It was a parking garage. So I was like stuck on both sides by shitty parkers. I was trapped out of my car. And then just being in a grocery store parking lot and seeing somebody totally sideways, like every time I see it, I want to find them, march them back over to their car and be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
What? You want to be like the cart guard, right? Isn't that that dude that's on social media, that the cart narc, where he will go and like put magnets and shit on your car if you are leaving your cart out? How that guy hasn't been murdered, I'll never understand.
I mean, yeah, that's another thing that's not on my list, but like, because it's not really military related. But in, I was just like at Walmart the other night and there was shitty parkers everywhere taking up like two spots, and then people leaving their carts just fucking everywhere. It makes me crazy. But yeah, so bad, I guess it'd be like bad parking lot etiquette. Makes me nuts because that shit would never fly in the military.
It
like
would
on
not.
Base.
Absolutely not.
No.
Now the it goes back to you. Who do you got for your first pick in the second round?
Me.
Yep.
You right. Got okay. So it would be you got it. People who, this is going to be a dumb one, but I guess, which is shocking for me. I'm probably guilty of it. When I see very, very wrinkly clothing.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, I had that.
I'm not perfect, but when my, I only wear like gym clothes, but when my shit's wrinkly, I throw it back in the dryer with a wet washcloth. I'll never iron again. That's for goddamn sure. But I still make sure I'm not wrinkly. And I see guys walking around the office looking like they just came out of the wrinkle factory.
Pull that out of their fucking sea bag, right, Kate?
And like, look at me. I wear sweats every day, but still this part of me is like, dude, really?
You're issued sweats.
Like I am wearing. Oh yeah, I'm wearing.
Yeah, you're in your issued right sweats right now.
But I wouldn't have taken this out of the house if it was like super wrinkly. You know what I mean? Like I cannot stand. And maybe that's from our days having to iron our uniforms for like 3 hours at a time. Like just absurd. And turns out in hindsight, they were just killing time because they didn't know what else to do with us in boot camp. So they just have us iron for like 10 hours. But can't stand it.
It just shows you don't care about your appearance overall, which is disgusting.
And as a lady who gets depressed, I get it, but I'm just saying it's a pet
peeve. The stories of, I had no idea. Speaking of depression, I had no idea the stories about Marilyn Monroe. My God, man. I was
wrinkly
fucking,
clothes?
No, like pooping in bed and stuff. It was,
oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And who what, among
all the food she had in bed? Yeah.
Me. I'm pretty depressed. Never poop in bed. I don't want to poop in the bed. No, I'm number two. My first pick in the second round. Here we go. Slow walkers, people that walk slow in like the airport or meander in the middle of the hallway, gangway fucking third phase coming through. Get out of the way, you dumb bitch. Just go sit down. If you're on your phone, get off your phone and make the fucking phone call. Either way, get out of the way. I got places to go. Places to go and people to see. Slow walkers, get out of here.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Act like you have a purpose in this life and keep it moving.
Cons.
All right. With my next pick, I am going to go with people who show up late to meetings and just saunter in like it's no big deal. Do you not have respect for others? Mm-hmm. Do you not own a watch? Mm-hmm. Did you not plan properly so you could be somewhere on time? What's wrong with you? That was my response. Hardest thing.
I can't even, that's me.
I will say, I know it. Kate has done remarkably better. I mean, the difference between year one and two Katie's EBT and year like four and five Katie's EBT, night and day. Mm-hmm. We hardly ever have to wait around her. Kate, much improvement in that category.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Well, I knew it was a pet peeve of Kanz's, so I wanted to fix myself.
Yeah, all right, honestly, Kate, it really wasn't you. It's in my, you know, other parts of my life where people just kind of show up to meetings late and it's just perfectly acceptable in our society to show up late, and I don't get it. So, all right. And for my third round pick, now this is also, you know, not as prevalent for the barstool world because people aren't wearing suits normally, but unshined shoes. If your shoes look like somebody took a Hershey bar and rubbed it all over, you have a problem with me, because that is also just as disgusting as wearing a wrinkled shirt. If your shoes are not shined properly, God almighty, please have some pride. Fix yourself before you leave your house.
That being said, if you do shine your shoes, because I don't know if you guys remember, but in the pandemic, I got addicted to buying cowboy boots on eBay. One of the things that I would do is get the ones that were super shitty, and I would see if I could repair them and like restore them back. Your boy still got it. I'm a fucking great shoe shiner.
Wow.
Great.
Yeah, that's probably what it is for me too. Like, I'm actually really good at it. And this goes back to even before being in the military. My dad was always big about shining shoes. So maybe it goes back to that.
What about Brasso and stuff? How are you at Brasso and stuff?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I haven't had the Brasso anything of late. But yeah, when I had to, I was really good at it.
Kate, what would you rate on a scale of 1 to 10? Where's your Brasso skills?
Oh, I was actually really good. If you give me like a dumb task to do, I always say this, I was a follower, not a leader. Yeah. Buddy, tell me what to do. You want me to make that thing turn into a diamond? I'll Brasso a doorknob into a diamond.
I can see that, where you just like kind of mindless task and you're going to be with your buddy and doing it. Hey, you go grab another fucking buddy and you guys go Brasso the quarter deck. Fine. Like, that's good.
I used to volunteer to go to the dump all the time on base. I'm like, oh, I'll go to the dump. I could just stand there throwing stuff into the hole for 10 hours.
Well, the dump is fun. I mean, no matter where you're at in life, veteran, civilian, whatever, out. Anytime I get a chance to go to the dump, buddy, I'm in. You never know what you're going to see or who you're going to see.
Absolutely.
Anytime you go to a dump, you got to go. And if you got a dump, also go. We very much encourage that. Otherwise, you'll be stuck outside your apartment with the baby covered in shit.
True.
It chaps her up.
All right. Yes, Kate?
Well, I have one more note on the shoe scuff thing.
Okay.
I had a pair of Cora frames that you wear with your dress blues. They're like the black dress shoes. You wear them anytime you have to wear like a dress uniform. And they're expensive and they're uncomfortable and they suck. And mine got, somebody else like stepped on them and they got a scuff that would not come out no matter what. And we would use like Sharpies, magic markers, like whatever to cover up the scuff because they were still perfectly good shoes. But if they had a mark, the your leader would be like, you have to buy new ones. And I was always like, no, I'm not buying fucking new shoes that when I have shoes that are fine, just because there's like
shoes that you wear like three times a year.
So I remember every time I would get counseled on them and every time I was like, you're like, yes, sir, I'll get the new ones next time. And then I just never would. And I made
integrity violation number four for Kate.
Made it.
Saying that you're going to do something and you didn't do it. Integrity violator.
Oh, my God. Well, anyways, I made it the whole way through the Marine Corps with one pair of core frames. So fuck,
that's pretty
fuck
good. Honestly.
You.
Well,
I would
done,
just keep
Kate.
Selling them. Oh, yeah. Next time. Absolutely, sir. Yes.
And core frames are the worst uniform item to buy because you can't wear them anywhere else. A lot of the other things, at least you're doing other shit. Maybe you could do it. Core frames, not one. Also, one of my buddies that got out, speaking of core frames, he actually started to bedazzle his butthole. And he said he got the idea from core frames. You want to know why?
What do you mean?
He like takes little shiny beads and puts it around his butthole. And he said that he got the idea from core frames.
But does he have like an OnlyFans? What is he doing this for?
No, he just does that for fun. He said he calls it edge dressing is what he calls it. So
I'll have to look into that.
That was a good one. All right, so let's move. I'm on 3 of 3, right? And this is my third round pick.
Yes.
Third
round. Yes.
I'm going
0 for 3, but
I'm going with no eye contact. Now, this does not apply to those of our friends and
without
and
eyes.
Listeners who without eyes. Shout out, Dan. Nope. So
nope.
We have so those without eyes or our friends who are neurodivergent, who are on the autism right. spectrum, who don't like to do that type of thing because of their being is different. No eye contact. You don't fucking look at me if we're talking, and I know that you can look at me. It's a lack of confidence. It's a lack of sincerity. Cannot stand that eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Kate, you are going to lose this pick here. So you only have one pick on this roundabout here of the snake. So you have one pick right here.
Okay. Oh, I want to say another one that kind of is like Chaps is, but I'm going to go with, this is a real veteran pet peeve of mine. All the vet dudes who talk about like 22 a day and all the hardships of being in the military, and then they turn around and they shit on women veterans or veterans they don't like or whatever. And they're complete dickheads to other veterans, but then they're always crying for attention in the other way. I don't know what you would word this as, but I see it all the time. I've
vet
seen
bro
it.
Culture.
Vet bro, I guess vet bro culture that, yeah, is like a victim, like they're victims and then they victimize other people by being complete dickheads all the time. Like it's still, I still see it all the time, like on the big media pages and stuff. So
fourth rounder, serious.
I know, I got serious because it is a pet peeve. Like I was thinking of like real things that like actually do, because most of this shit doesn't really like really get under my skin, but that I see that I'm like, these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hypocrisy, even. That's what some would say.
I would say the hypocrisy of vet bro culture is what I would call it. Yeah.
There you go. All right. So mine up next, round number 4. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with indecisiveness. I cannot stand people who do not make a decision. Just fucking make a decision. Going back and forth, whistle waffling. If you're going to make a decision, just go through the door. Don't sit outside it for 45 minutes discussing a plan. Just go through the door, make a decision. And if it's the wrong one, man up or woman up or they up to that decision and say that you take responsibility. But even if it's something as small as I cannot stand something when it's a mundane decision. And when people are like, well, what do you think about this option or that option or this option? If they're essentially the same option, I don't give a fuck. Just pick one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Cons, you're next.
All right. For my fourth pick, I'm actually going to pick the pick that Kate already spoiled for me. But I'm going to take it nonetheless.
Wow.
Lazy.
Veteran gatekeepers. Oh, you know, when I was in this would never have flied. Or when I was in, it's like, well, dude, the military evolves and we get better and we change. And, you know, there were a lot of things we did in the military back in the day that probably weren't the best way and most effective way to do things. And I'm happy that we've evolved. And we
so yours is back in my day.
That's, I didn't spoil yes. his. That's not
you
what
said
the
exactly
said.
What, that's what
well,
you
what
said.
What did you say, Kate? Explain.
When people complain about like, oh, I didn't like this uniform thing, that's a detailed thing. That's not what Cons is talking about.
Yeah, I think you're talking about small minute things, Kate, and he's talking about bigger picture.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Don't punish me.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
So bring it back down to me.
No,
this one
wait,
might
Cons
has one more pick. This is his last pick.
Yeah. And for my last pick, wow, I have a lot of good ones here, and I'm really sure how to round this thing out. But my gut is telling me to go with this one, and that is when people are unprepared. It's like, I'm sorry, I don't know why you didn't pack a charger for this week-long trip that we're on. I don't know why you didn't pack your toothbrush.
You want people to have a fucking gear list?
Yeah, exactly. I love, dude, you want to see on my phone right now? I got a PCC PCI list. For any trip I'm taking, I have a packing list and a checklist, so I'm prepared when I get somewhere. There's nothing that bothers me more when then I travel with certain people pretty frequently, and said people don't have a charger or don't have a toothbrush, and they have to use mine. And is that really a big deal? No.
Oh, I don't
why couldn't you just remember? So being unprepared.
I think that one's fair. Like, we want people prepared. And I think that is something, especially that was a very officer pick. One, because he doesn't check to make sure that his spouse or significant other, who we might be mentioning, has it. He doesn't.
You need to bring in
to
a
supervise.
Third. You guys need to become polyamorous and have a middleman.
Yeah, don't be a sergeant type. Supervising
I need
her.
An NCO.
Yeah.
I need an NCO.
Yeah, you need an NCO
really
in your relationship.
Mm-hmm. He's used to all that stuff being done by somebody else.
Exactly. I'm used to showing up before the mission. And my shit's ready to go. Like, let's get in the trucks and roll out.
Pat would be like, I'm about to take the baby like somewhere or whatever. And he goes to walk out the door with just the baby. I'm like, oh, no, no, no. You need a whole
good bitch. Come here.
Good bitch. Come here. You need where's
hey,
your sea bag
with gloves? Come here
with a blowout outfit, like a new diapers, wipes, boogie wipes, water, food, snacks, blah, blah, blah. Right. Like having a baby has made me I was the person you were complaining about. But having a baby has made me very planny.
Yeah. I would imagine you're ready to go anytime you leave the house. You're ready for just about anything that comes your way.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Unless it's a separate set of keys, and in which case you're up shit's
true.
Creek.
True.
All right. So for all my right. last pick, people who get upset when there's not a military discount, who are legitimately pissed off that they don't get one, the entitlement is off the charts. If a place happens to give you one, wonderful, but being indignant that it's not as high or being like 10%, that's kind of low, don't you think? Like, we should have been doing 15. Shut up. Just be happy that they offer you anyone. And if you get any kind of discount, be grateful, but don't go around looking for your handout. Unreal.
I am a military veteran standing at the counter. That viral TikTok of that woman, and she just got roasted.
Yep. And rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah.
And all I can understand if you're at Home Depot and you're buying one of those new refrigerators that you can knock on and look inside, and it's like $3,500 and you want your 10% discount because that's $350. But if we're doing an LED light that has 48 watts and you're complaining about that, buddy, I got 22 cents for you.
Amen.
That's Kate, all I'll say. Kate,
you have two more picks to close out the draft.
Oh, I do now. I thought I was getting... totally
no,
screwed.
You get it at the end.
No,
so
your third round becomes the very last pick.
This goes along with Chaps's like not making eye contact thing. When I see this happen, I die inside. One time my cousin was dating a guy. We were at cousin's game night and he's sitting down in a chair. And every time one of my cousins came over to like introduce themselves to him, he did not stand up to shake their. He just kept sitting. And I wanted to go over there. I was kind of fresh out of the room, grab him by the collar and be like, you stand up when people are greeting you.
I have that one on my list too.
When a meeting starts or when it's like, you know, back in the day when the office came in, you all had to stand up and come.
Feet.
Get on your fucking feet and show a little bit of like respect. Like, I'm glad you're here enough to like waste 3 calories to stand up for a second. That is a huge pet peeve of mine.
And I think it's different if all of us are in a room. Like if me, Nick and Cons are in a room, Kate walks in. We've known each other for a long time. No need to get up. If Cons is there with somebody he works with and I'm sitting down and he brings somebody in, I'm standing up. If I don't have that very familiar relationship with you, I'm standing up. Hey, good to see you. Even if I were acquaintances that I met a couple times to show that I respect you enough. Once you know we're pals, stay on your ass as long as you sit easy, folks.
It like
but
scandalizes
then,
me when I see it. It like, uh-huh. I'm like, oh, they
the
didn't
fuck
stand
are
up.
You not to get on your goddamn feet. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, crazy. And then I think my other one, I have a little list here that I want to scroll through. God, there's a whole, I have so many. Another one for me, and this goes to hydration. In the military, they're always telling you to hydrate. When the restaurant won't just give you a little cup of water they make you buy like, when Starbucks is like, sorry, you have to buy the Fiji instead of just giving me like a cup, like I'm with my
that
son.
Should be
can you give me
law.
A Dixie cup of water real quick here? Like I'm like, I hate that. It's such a simple, easy thing to do. Or when the restaurant charges you for like, but I don't know. That's a dumb one, but that's another
no,
one.
It's good
of
if it bothers you. Is that it? Or you got one more?
I got no, that's your five picks.
Okay.
Isn't that all five? Right.
That's your last pick. So if you guys want to have some honorable.
All right. Connor, I'll give you two.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chi.com. That's 3CHI.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
Two honorable mentions for
Cons. Probably has 50. So
yeah, I do have a bunch, but I'll stick it and I'll keep it to two. Number one, hands in the pockets. And, oh man, there's two here that I really want to say, but I will say,
go ahead, knock yourself out, Cons.
Thank you. Fish handshake. You don't have a firm handshake. And that goes again, that goes back to my father, even before the military. But then also,
God damn it, that's my number one pick. I was like, that could sound like the one that Kate says number one. I didn't look at it because typically it says, you know, when you first go in the notes app, the first one gets super bold. I missed the super bold one. That's my number one overall pick is fucking weak handshakes.
Yeah.
If you shake my hand weak, I won't be friends with you. Cannot do it. Like if you, and this might be my most sexist, misogynistic view that I have, and I will not back away with it no matter how many times people try to cancel me. If you shake my hand with a little wimp, bitch, fish hand, get it the fuck out of here.
Why would that be sexist or misogynistic? You. Are you saying that women don't give good handshakes, Chaps?
Well, yes. By and large, from where I'm from, absolutely. Like, the women in church would just be like, dunk your hand in there like it's a fucking cookie.
That's
going
because
into
we're taught to be delicate and polite. But I go up to a guy and I grab him right by the scrote and I look him right in the eyes and I say, nice to meet you.
I was going to say you did that to me, but the scrote wasn't involved. I do, however.
I spit it to the side and then I stomp it with my boot and then I light a cigarette.
I do remember the first time we met Kate, though, when she came.
I grabbed
you
guys by the dicks,
right by the nose, by the tits. You were like, "Hey, fellas, honk honk, motherfuckers! I'm here to run social media." Yeah, we were like, "Whoa,
yep,
whoa, we can't shake." Great one. I also don't like people who non-military people who say military nicknames like devil dog or something like that.
Oh yeah.
Or when people will be like, "Oh, you're a Marine, Semper Fi." Oh, were you a Marine? No. Well, then shut the fuck up. Don't tell me Semper Fi.
I'm the producer of the podcast. I won't even say it.
I would never ever say that in public. Like if somebody did that, I'd be like, "Rah, Semper Fi." Well, go about it. But in my head, I'm thinking, "You don't fucking rate." Mm-hmm. And my last one, people that think military grade is good.
Yeah, that's true. It's very much not.
Goes to the lowest bidder, my friends. Yeah. It goes to the lowest bidder.
Kate, any extras?
One, when people, because we're very much taught, especially in the Marine Corps, like customs and courtesies and to be like polite and good out in town because you're representing the Marine Corps, blah, blah, blah. But like that really stuck. I remember one thing that was always driven home. It's like what you do when nobody's watching you. Like, are you being kind to others, whatever, when no one's around? Like that was really drilled into us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see it all the time on public transportation. Like if you're not getting up for the elderly woman who's clearly like struggling to stand, or if you're not like, if you see a mom
helping people
with a
get
stroller
their bags
and you don't go
them.
Running over to help her up the stairs, like I hate that shit. Like because then I got to go do it and I'm lazy as shit. But I hate just like not having patience for people who clearly need a little extra patience sometimes. So that is a huge pet peeve of mine. It's like, just be decent to each other, kind of.
I'm not military related at all. Can't stand going to a restaurant with somebody who says, "Let me get a," or "I'll have a," instead of, Would you mind if I get, or can I have this? Like, and ask it in a question instead of like barking instructions at the waiter.
Yeah.
I think it's all on your tone. I think you can say it that way if you're.
Yeah, I know. That's why it drives me crazy up there because you motherfuckers are rude as hell.
Let me get a bacon, egg, and cheese, bro. That's basically what you'll hear at any bodega in Brooklyn.
Or just like, "I'll have," just a declarative that you will. Not a request, but a declarative. Who are you? That's how I feel. All right, let's move on to save rounds and alibis. Nick, we will start. Well, before we do that, before I shoot it over to Nick, Kate has a save round story.
Yeah, this is just got to be really quick because So two Marines have been charged with injury to real property and a city ordinance violation of disorderly conduct after investigators said they turned themselves in after they damaged an HH-46E helicopter at the Havelock Tourist and Event Center Saturday. So investigators are working with MCA. This is right near MCAS Cherry Point. In the surveillance video, the men are climbing onto the Phantom helicopter, taking pictures. And then they walk up to this other helicopter and they try and spin the blades before breaking out two of the windows and climbing into the helicopter.
Did you see the part of the article where they started their night, or where they had
Waffle House? Waffle House. In the photos,
drunk.
These guys are climbing around on these jets and helicopters with cigarettes dangling out of their mouths and USMC hoodies. I fucking Love it. They were also accused of eating at a nearby Waffle House and leaving without paying the bill. That's actually shitty. Mm-hmm. Their names are West and Carranza. They will be in court. They're lower enlisted. I thought that. I was hoping they were officers. September 1st at 9 a.m. But I just, that's a quick little story there. But one of them was doing it in a USMC hoodie. The video surveillance of them doing this is clear as day, but them trying to spin the fucking rotors of the helicopter, I was like cackling. It's so funny.
This is one of those stories, and I think I have more experience because of working in a schoolhouse environment where it's very, very junior troops from all branches of service. This kind of thing happened all the time, not like doing helicopters or whatever, but stupid shit that you know that you shouldn't be doing and you did it because it's drunk. And being in that position where you bring in the people who fucked up, and you know in your heart of hearts it's not really a big deal, but you want to make them think it's a big deal and you want to make their morning miserable, it's such an enjoyable day. So anytime
is a big deal, I think, what they've done.
It
is
a
huge
deal. It is a big deal. And it would be so much fun to be the company gunny. Because amount of insults that you could throw their way and they can't say shit. Hey there, Hilo Drop, come here. Hey there, Waffle House, come here. The amount of different names that you could call them that are not insulting, not derogatory, but are just going to make fun of them essentially for the rest of the time in. Wonderful. Chef kiss story. Love it.
Yeah, love it. That's my only saved round. I just thought that was really funny. It's just ridiculous. I highly recommend going to check out the video. So,
all right. Sounds good. Nick, what about you, pal?
Yeah, for me, a bit of a call to action for the listeners. If you are listening to this on Apple, please go there, leave a review, leave a creative one. Maybe we'll read it on the show. Who knows? Leave a review, leave 5 stars. It really helps us out to get to the top. So when people are searching for us, they can find ZBT. And that's what we all want. And then also leave comments in the YouTube as well. If you got a suggestion for the draft or anything like that, please let us know. And yeah, if there's any violators, you know where to find me.
There we go. Cons, what do you got, pal?
Yeah, so this wasn't really a pet peeve, but this was one of the weirdest things when I left the military, and especially in the civilian working world. Growing up, my whole life, everybody who was older than me was Mr. or Mrs. or, you know, Mr. and Miss. And then in the military, everybody is called by their rank, you know, especially as you go up the chain there. Mm-hmm. And then you get out of the military, and it doesn't matter how old you are or where you are at, like, I would call the CEO of a company like by his first name. And that was weird to me at the start of things, right? Like it would just seems like I'm missing something here, some level of respect where I should be calling you something a little more formal. So that was one of the weird things, not really a pet peeve, but just one of the weird things I thought about when trying to come up with this list. I've gotten better at it now, but even still to this day, it's still kind of weird to me with certain people. So that's all I got.
I don't have much. I've really enjoyed the last 2 drafts. Hopefully you guys are. Let us know if you have any feedback, any changes that you think we make. We might not listen, but we might as well. DM us at ZeroBlog30. Check out our YouTube, obviously, and do all that stuff that Nick was talking about. Otherwise, we'll be back here on Monday. I did an interview that you guys are going to fucking love for Monday. This dude, Colin O'Brady, that I talked to, the first person ever to go across Antarctica's entire continent totally by himself, not with like a camera crew, not with a support crew that's 5, 10, 15 feet off the camera where you can't see him, dropped off there alone, going through with all of his food that he was going to need, all of his shelter that he was going to need, and every single thing else that he was going to need for a 60-day trek across Antarctica when it's frozen, when it's 40 degrees, and when the wind is whipping 60 miles an hour. The amount of perseverance that takes is unbelievable. It's so good, in fact, that I bought his book after the interview was over, and I know most of the story. That's what you're going to want to hear on Monday. We'll see you then. It's on the retreat.